We find repeatedly throughout our scriptures words of comfort. Sometimes messages given to individuals, sometimes to families, to communities, and sometimes to the whole nation of Israel and indeed the world. Though we often find ourselves getting hung up on tricky bits of scripture, with good reason, we should also remember just how much of our sacred text is concerned with promise and hope. Our Bibles have many beautiful poetic expressions of the love, companionship, and compassion of the divine. Today's reading from Isaiah is just one of those poetic expressions. It's from the part of Isaiah that we call, or many scholars call, Deutero-Isaiah, Second Isaiah. And it is, as the majority of the latter part of the book of Isaiah is, a message of comfort to both the exiled and the remaining people of Israel, somewhere in the 6th or so century before the Common Era, BCE. Using metaphors from the world of nature and agriculture, this prophet-poet, using the name of Isaiah but living sometime after Isaiah of Jerusalem, who authored or was the inspiration for the first 39 chapters of the book. Using these agricultural metaphors, the poet reminds their hearers that the world is cyclical. Sowing, planting, growing, dying, and it all begins again. This metaphor is applied to the princes and rulers of the earth, the empires which rise and fall. The passage goes on to reassure those who read or hear that God's sustaining presence continues. It remains through all things. And God continues to promise strength and uplift all those who are weary and tired. Words of comfort indeed. Words which perhaps we, the church in exile, need to hear at this time. We have lived through and are living through unsettled times, with no real sense of what is next for us as Christian community, as a society, as a world, as a human race. Pandemic, climate emergency, war, a worldwide refugee crisis, and many struggling with the rising cost of living and the growing gap between the ultra-rich few and the majority who are just getting by. It's tiring. It's exhausting. But we don't go through any of this alone. As well as the God who accompanies us in all of this, we are called into community. A community of loving, support, questioning, searching, praying, living, and serving together. A community which I believe is a gift to us, and we are a gift to one another. And even more than that, we are called to be a gift to the world around, a gift of welcome, a gift of affirmation, a gift of loving service. It is not that we are perfect as a community, but that we are trying to do this together, caring for and learning from one another, and I believe growing together in faith. And today we welcome another into this community. Not just St. John's, not just the Anglican Church, but the church worldwide, the church throughout time and in all places. Today, we welcome John Lewis into our church through baptism. And we offer our congratulations to his parents, Kimberly and Miles, even as we offer our support in their calling to be parents and carers for John as he grows. And as we welcome our new sibling in Christ to community, we are reminded of our own baptismal covenant, as well as, through admittedly metaphorical and archaic language, recommitting ourselves to turn from that which is harmful and hurtful to that which is life-giving and reflects the life of Christ within, between, and around us. In his first epistle to the Corinthians, Paul is very aware of this calling to be community, and to be a community which is proclaiming good news to the world. And by proclaiming, we don't mean standing on a soapbox telling everyone how bad they are in order that they might take up the offer of a salvation to avoid eternal suffering. No, the proclamation of good news is living out the values of Christ, who we love, in the way that we live and love and serve. The good news is that we are valued for exactly who we are, and that we are called to a common life of faith. And the way in which we proclaim this gospel begins with a radical empathy for one another and for all those whom we meet. That's what being a slave to all, in Paul's language, means. To the Jewish people, to those under the law, to those not under the law, to the weak, being all things to all people, sharing with them where they are, loving them where they are, serving them where they are, not for the sake of trying to win them over through some kind of duplicity or covert chameleon-like conversion process. No, identifying so deeply with people that they see the life and the love of the divine in us and in all that we do and all that we are. This is what I believe people saw in Jesus: a deep empathy, a gracious listening, a love which made them feel seen and heard and understood and loved. He healed them with grace and did not allow anyone he met to remain where they were. And we're given a clue as to how Jesus sustained this ministry in the last part of today's gospel reading. He prayed. He took time away from the bustle and the busyness to be alone with God, to be still. John O'Donohue writes in his book Anamkara, "Stillness is vital to the world of the soul. If as you age you become more still, you will discover that stillness can be a great companion. The fragments of your life will have time to unify, and the places where your soul's shelter is wounded or broken will have time to knit and heal. You will be able to return to yourself. In this stillness you will engage your soul. Many people miss out on themselves completely as they journey through life. They know others, they know places, they know skills, they know their work, but tragically they do not know themselves at all." We need to rest and reflect and pray in whichever way suits and sustains and nourishes us, if we are to sustain ourselves and offer ourselves to this work of community, to service, to loving, to deep empathy. It's a reminder that though I believe we are being drawn deeper into exploring what being community is and to explore how we build up our common life, we are as individuals important, loved, valued for who and what we are, and need to take care of ourselves, to refresh ourselves, and not to give more than we have to give. Dr. Cornel West, at a Zoom talk I was a part of a couple years back during this Black History Month, related a story where someone had said, "Stay woke, brother." To which he replied, "I do not want to stay woke. I want to be rested, to be ready for the work of justice that has to be done." We are called in community to rest with one another and alone. We are called in community to care for one another. We are called as community to care for those beyond our walls, to advocate, to stand for justice. We are called as community to pray, meet, worship, eat, learn, and grow together. We are called as community to the practice of radical empathy, deep love, and healing. We are called to recognize that each one of us is valued, loved, graced, and embraced, to give one another space for rest, reflection, healing, and prayer. And we are called to celebrate each new member of our community, including our newest member, John. Welcome to our community, John. May together we continue to grow into that community Christ has called us to be. Thanks be to God. Amen.